Welcome back. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. And some thoughts about the CSU Rams win last night over Virginia. Also, if you haven't got your bracket in yet, make sure you get to our website, theteam1340.com, for a Bracketpalooza powered by Ed Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick. Get your bracket in. You have until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning to do that. Go to theteam1340.com to fill out your bracket. All right, joining us, as he usually does around this time of the year, the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, worked here in the Valley for KJCT News 8 on the TV side before going up to Spokane and calling the Gonzaga Bulldogs for so many years. Tom Hudson joins us. Tom, always a pleasure, my friend. How you doing?
Jim, I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you. About a month ago, I'm not sure a lot of people thought we'd be having this conversation.
Well, and there are people that still...
There was some doubt surrounding our team.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that in a moment, certainly. But also, there's some doubts from folks like Seth Davis whether you're going to be calling more than one tournament game with McNeese State coming up. And I just reading some of the comments from Seth Davis, who's drawn the ire of some of our listeners about his comments about last night's CSU-Virginia game. But, Clark Kellogg, last season, Clark Kellogg picked your team to win the national championship. But, this time around, like you said, not so many believers in the Gonzaga Bulldogs right now. And Seth Davis from CBS, he picks McNeese State to take down your Zags, and I get where he's coming from in terms of some really positive things about McNeese State. They're 30-3 on the season, set a program record for total wins, most conference victory since the 2001-2002 season. There's a lot of things about them. Finished 56th in the net rankings. Your Bulldogs finished 17th. I mean, there's some positive things about McNeese State, but this is Gonzaga still. This is a program that's become a blue blood, and it's a team that, at least it feels like, Tom, maybe started to figure out some things at the right time, hopefully, for Mark Few.
Yeah, Jim, we have, and it's funny, right? I mean, sometimes I feel bad for the teams and the players. You have the selection show, and then it's, all of a sudden it's like, okay, pick the upsets, and then McNeese State's just kind of sitting there minding their own business, right? They're like, hey, we made the tournament, really excited about it, and then all of a sudden, Seth Davis, Clark Kellogg say, hey, these guys, this is the upset pick. This is the one that's going to happen. And then immediately you look at our guys' faces, and they're like, well, wait a second. Okay, not that we necessarily needed extra motivation, but here's a little bit, you're going to disrespect us and say, all right, we're the team that's going to lose in the first round that's not supposed to lose. So I always kind of chuckle at that when they make those calls, right after the deal, and then the team that's a favorite just says, okay, well, we'll remember that as we're preparing for this. But yeah, we're playing good right now, Jim. We've kind of figured it out, and I think it's going to be one of those things in this current era with the NIL and the transfer portal and people moving around. Obviously we lost Drew Timmy last year, and it's funny because nobody seems to mention that as we were trying to kind of find our way early in the season. He's one of the best players in the history of college basketball. You're trying to figure that out. We lost 8 players. We brought in some really talented guys, notably Ryan Nemhard, the point guard from Creighton, Graham Ike from Wyoming. He's been fantastic for us. But, Graham hadn't played for a year and a half because he had a foot injury. And so, I think what Coach Few's done with this program is, we've gotten to this level where the expectation is so high. It's like, okay, well, Gonzaga's just going to, roll out another 25-win season and they're going to be in the tournament. And, we lost a few games early on, I think, while we were trying to find our way and guys were trying to find their roles. And I think we've kind of hit our stride here a little bit. The WCC tournament championship game hopefully was a little blip for us against St. Mary's. But, yeah, I think we've started to figure it out. We lost a kid, Steele Venters, who was the Big Sky Player of the Year at Eastern Washington just down the road from us. He had a knee injury in the preseason. He's a 42-43% three-point shooter, so we've missed him. And our games that we've lost where we've not played well, it's been our three-point shooting. I think our 7 losses we've shot 25% or worse from behind the three-point line. So that hurt a little bit. But some of our guys, Nolan Hickman, one of our veteran guys, he was our point guard last year. He moved off the ball with Nemhard coming in. He started to find his way. He's shooting a little bit better. They moved Ben Gregg into the starting lineup. He's been fantastic for us and really provided a spark. So, yeah, it's been remarkable to see this team kind of come together. But like I said, Jim, I think in this era, you're going to see this kind of stuff more and more. You're not necessarily building, you know, programs with four-year guys from within. You know, you're adding guys as you need them. And I think it just takes a little while to figure it out and for everybody to understand their roles.
Gonzaga Radio Voice Tom Hudson with us today on the Team Sports Network with McNeese State. Shahada Wells, their top scorer this season, almost 18 points per game. He's shooting 40% from three-point range. You talked about the struggles your Bulldogs have had. Tom, shooting the three, also have had some challenges defending the three as well, and that's going to be a big factor in this game coming up tomorrow. Can Gonzaga do a better job defending McNeese State's Cowboys and from the three-point line?
Yeah, it will be. You know, it's funny, we actually played well last year when he was at TCU in the NCAA tournament. And it's funny, again, you go back to this transfer portal thing, and, you know, he's one of probably five guys, I think, on their roster that's at his third school. You know, and it was funny because last year he played 5 minutes against us. I think maybe he had two rebounds. I mean, he was not a factor at all. And then you look at him this year, and you're like, oh, my goodness, look at that. I think, Jim, on top of what you said about him scoring, you know, 18 and shooting 40% from three, I think he's the only guy in the country who's, you know, 17.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 3 steals a game. I mean, he's had a heck of a year, you know, given the opportunity to play more. So he's obviously going to be one of the big keys for us. And then, you know, one of the things that I think also is going to be a huge key, they really turn people over, right? I mean, they force 16.5 turnovers a game. It's a pressure defense. You know, they get up into you. When we've gone on this run where we've won 9 of 10, you know, I'd say probably over the last half of the year, we've really taken great care of the basketball game. I mean, in West Coast Conference play, we averaged about 8.5 turnovers a game. We really did a great job of taking care of it. I mean, a couple nights ago, we had 3 turnovers. You know, I mean, we've played really well in taking care of the ball. So I think that's going to be one of the keys, too. But you're right. He's dangerous. He's had a heck of a year, and it's scary to think. You know, you play these teams and you don't see them much and you don't know a lot about them. They're not televised much, you know, where we are, and you don't get an opportunity. And then you look at those stats and you see a few highlights and you say, oh, no. You know, this is a guy who could end your season for sure.
Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga Bulldogs, joining us. Gonzaga takes on McNeese State tomorrow in Salt Lake City in the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Getting back to the Zags shooting the three and being more efficient, more effective in that area, Tom. Antoine Watson, second-leading scorer at almost 15 points per game. He's 40% from three-point range. I would think just looking at the numbers, just giving those a cursory look, that Antoine Watson's going to play a fairly significant role in this team having success from the three-point line.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and he shoots it sneakily well, right? He doesn't shoot it a lot, you know, we've had teams just kind of dare him, and that's been his career. You know, where teams have kind of back off him a little bit and dare him to shoot it, and he's gotten to where he's a 38, 39% shooter, and he's just competitive as anybody is. And, Jim, he's been one of my kind of favorite stories for this team. You know, he's a local kid. He played at Gonzaga Prep, and it was a fun story. You know, him and Drew Timmy, you know, we're buddies from the time they walked on campus together. And, you know, Anton decided to stay for a fifth year while Drew moved on. He's playing the G League. He's actually hurt, but went on to play. But those two kids took every single class together in college, right? Right. I mean, these guys were best of friends. You know, they lived together. And, you know, and Anton was kind of in the shadows a little bit. You know, his game to this point has been, you know, kind of a role player. He does so much stuff for us. He still does those things. He's great at the top of our press. He's a guy who defends really well. He's a good rebounder. He's the guy that, you know, you've got your hands on the ball, you think you're going to rebound it, and he tips it away from you, you know, to a teammate, and we get opportunities that way. But it's been fun to see because so much of what he's done in his career has happened this year. You know, you love it when a kid comes back for one more season and he plays really well. And you know, on senior day, I was going back and kind of looking through and of his, you know, whatever it is, about 70 career double-digit games that he's scored, you know, 25 of those have come this year. He's got 2 30-point games this year. I mean, nobody thought that he was going to be a guy that you could really lean on to score that heavily. You knew that the talent was there, but it wasn't necessarily something that he'd been asked to do. And so it's been really fun to see him produce at the level that he's producing. And he will be a huge key. When he plays well, you know, when we went to Kentucky and beat them, and obviously that was a focal point of our season, he was just unbelievable. And like I said, not just scoring it, which he did. You know, he got to 20, maybe 17 in that game, excuse me. But, you know, did so many different things. He's a great defender. He can defend all 5 spots. So he's going to be a huge, huge part of what we're doing. But it's one of those things you love to see, Jim. You know, a guy playing his best at the time that you know, you're asking him to, and that he's maybe expecting to. So he will be a big key tomorrow.
Gonzaga radio voice Tom Hudson with us today on the Team Sports Network. Tom, I want to ask you something that's kind of away from tomorrow's game with McNeese State, and that's about name, image, likeness, NIL, and how Mark Few and how Gonzaga has approached that situation, the transfer portal, because Gonzaga is a unique situation in terms of a school that was a mid-major that has blossomed over the years into one of the true blue bloods of college basketball, but still a smaller institution than a lot of the blue bloods, a lot of the big programs in the country. How's the school handled that particular aspect, which has become a challenge for folks across the college landscape, not just in basketball, but football and other sports as well?
Jim, it has been crazy how quickly this thing has blown up, right? I mean, it went from name, image, likeness. So, okay, you know, and we use Drew Timmy as an example all the time. I mean, Drew was the true definition of what name, image, likeness should be. He was a superstar. Everybody in Spokane loved him. Great personality. That could, you know, he could sell cars. He could sell headphones. He could, you know, I mean, you wanted him to be representing your company, right? And now it's turned into, okay, we're just going to put a collective together, and we're just going to see how much money we can put in the bank, and then we're just going to pay kids, right? And so that part of it is difficult. Trust me, the number of conversations that I sit and have with, you know, with people within our athletic department and people that are close to the NIL situation, it is. It's a huge, huge factor in what's going on right now. And it's a shame, right? Because when you look at a program like ours, and we were having this conversation last night and on the plane coming down, just, you know, what it is that's made this program what it is. And, you know, we go back and start talking, hey, you remember back in 2012 when this happened, or, you know, 2016 when we almost missed the tournament, and then you start talking about the players who helped us win those games, and you're like, well, he was a four-year guy. These are kids who came in who we built up, and we built our program, and that's been one of the biggest parts of our success has been our consistency and our continuity. You know, and you talk about family. I know sometimes that becomes a little bit of a cliche in sports, but you know, that's been a lot of what we've been able to do. And now all of a sudden, you're in a situation where, you know, even if a kid's happy in your program and he's playing well, you know, somebody can just pick up the phone and call him and say, hey, we've got, pick your number, right? I mean, you don't even know what the numbers are out there. You hear so many different things. But, you know, somebody just calls and is like, hey, I know you're averaging 8 points a game as a freshman, and I know you're going to have a major role next year at your school, but hey, I've got $100,000 to come and play for us.
Yeah.
You know, a 19-year-old kid is sitting there, and he's like, well, $100,000? Okay, right? And so now all of a sudden, you're caught up in this situation where, you know, do you get into a bidding war? Do you not? Does the kid just leave? Now all of a sudden, you've got a hole to fill. You know, and it is hard because we don't, for everything that we've done and for as well as, you know, our athletic department has grown this program, you know, and the resources that they put into it. It is hard every year to go and ask people, you know, okay, well, I know we're asking to help with this. We also need this money so that we can pay the players. And that part is a little bit tricky. And so, you know, I think like a lot of schools, you know, we're still trying to navigate through it and figure out what the best is. I think, you know, one of the things that we'll probably try to lean on here, Jim, especially in the early parts of this while it's happening, is, you know, finding the kid that, you know, obviously you're going to, you know, pay the kids, but maybe, you know, you find a kid who understands, you know, hey, you know, these guys have put, you know, 8 guys in the NBA over the last 3 years. You know, it still makes sense to go here. I may not get, you know, my extra, you know, 50 grand on the front end, but hey, if I'm playing in the league, $50,000, right? I mean, I'll spend that at breakfast this morning, and who cares, right? Because I'm making $40 million a year, right? And so I think that's going to be kind of one of the things. Is you're still going to try to lean on, you know, your culture and lean on your success. But it is scary that, you know, we played a University of Washington team this year that we had beaten, I think it was 12 or 14 years in a row. And, you know, you start digging into the roster a little bit, and you know, they had given a lot of kids a lot of money to go to Seattle to play, you know, and then they ended up, I think, 17 and 15, you know, so they didn't have a great year. But, you know, it's so hard because, like I said, so you're drawing these kids away from programs where, you know, maybe they're happy, yeah, maybe they're not, and that's okay, too, if you're going to leave. But there's so many things you don't know. I mean, Jim, if you look at our roster, Watson's the only kid that we lose next year. You know, and we get Steele Venters back. So you would look at us and you say, gosh, those guys are going to be a preseason top 10 team with what they have. But I can't tell you right now, what our roster is going to look like in June. And that's just, that's bizarre. You know, and I've always, and you and I've had this conversation, I'm not against the kids getting something to play. I think we've reached that point where, you know, you ought to be able to, you know, get some money in the kids' pockets. But the question is this the right way to do it? And I think a lot of people are starting to figure out that it's not. And you know, hopefully it doesn't ruin, you know, not just college basketball, but college football as well, like you said, because it's a little scary. I mean, we saw that Nick Saban thing, right? He was like, hey, it's like, I got kids coming in saying, how much am I playing? And if I'm not, I'm leaving. And how much money are you going to pay me? What? That's not what this should be about. You know, and so it is a little bit frustrating.
How's Mark Few handled it from his standpoint? Because I know Mike Krzyzewski made some comments the other day and was kind of, I think, in a way, trying to push back a little bit on Nick Saban about Nick Saban, you know, the comments you mentioned and why Saban decided to retire. Because Krzyzewski's like, well, I just time for me to go, but I would have welcomed the opportunity to try to navigate those waters and adapt. And so there was a little bit of a pushback there. Where's Mark Few on something like this? You know, guy that's been coaching for a long time, extremely successful. What's Mark's take on this?
You know, Jim, I think the biggest take is it's kind of that. I think it's like, well, it's here. It's not going away, so we need to go and attack it. Like, we have to figure this out one way or the other. And, you know, I think it's what's made him such a great coach. I mean, I think, when, you know, you go back 25 years, you know, that we've made the tournament and when this whole thing started to grow and his attitude with, you know, his assistant coaches, like, why can't we start figuring out ways to win and going to the tournament and becoming a big-time program? I think it's just almost the next chapter, you know, for him. And I don't know that he particularly likes it. I know for a fact that he's all in on, you know, the players should be making some money. He's not, you know, trying to deny that. But like I said, I do think that, you know, he's just trying to figure out what it is and how it's working. Because, you know, again, I mean, I know for a fact, and I won't name names, but, you know, we had a kid, you know, on the hook that had committed to sign to us last summer, and you know, and then the next day there was an announcement that he had signed with another school, and the reports that came out that we were hearing was that that other school at the last second offered him a ton of money, and the kid left. You know, and so you're frustrated because, you know, here you're putting all this time, you're putting all this effort, and then, you know, there's nothing that anybody has to really answer to. And so I think that there's some frustrations in that, you know, part of it. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Coach, because I think, like I said, his approach is we've got to figure this out. If we're going to stay competitive and we're going to keep doing things we're doing, we've got to figure it out. And, you know, and this year we did. You know, I mean, between Graham Ike and Ryan Nemhard and Steele Venters, I mean, those were, you know, three of the more coveted, you know, not most necessarily, but more coveted, probably top 15, top 20, you know, the transfer portal last year, and we were able to get those guys in. So he'll keep fighting. I tell you that. He'll keep fighting, you know, trying to find ways and figuring out how it is that we can stay competitive. But like I said, it is tricky. That's interesting to hear Coach K say that. I don't know that I've heard any other coach say I would have embraced or I'm embracing the fact that we have to go and, you know, figure out a way to raise a couple million dollars a year so that we can put together a team. So that's interesting. I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah, I think it was just more of I would have been willing to take on the challenge of trying to adapt what I do to try to make this work. And and he didn't really say he had the answer, the solutions to it, but was more, I retired for a different reason than that. And
right.
And I know Nick Saban's kind of taken a step back or two a little bit on it, but it does. I mean, it makes it a challenge for coaches to try to navigate those waters. I do want to ask you one final thing. I know there's some talk at one point several months ago with Gonzaga and the Big 12. Where do things stand right now for Gonzaga and in that particular area?
It's, you know, Jim, it's crazy how just kind of fluid all of that stuff has been. And getting back to the NIL and trying to adapt to that and figure out, you know, what you can do to keep your program going, you know, just how much stuff is changing around the country. And I mean, you know, you look at the commissioner from the SEC the other day coming out and saying that we need to expand the tournament, not to make it better, but to get more, you know, mediocre Power 5 teams into the tournament, you know? And so it's a little bit kind of frustrating when you're watching this. And, you know, I mean, you talk about Colorado State and what they did to Virginia yesterday. Yeah, I would maybe argue that, and I know it's only one game, but wouldn't you maybe argue that a mediocre Power 5 didn't deserve to be in the tournament if they can't score, you know, 45 points in a game?
Very true.
I mean,
exactly.
And, you know, and so as you're trying to navigate through all of this stuff right now, you know, with the NIL and with conference expansion, I think what you're concerned about is being left out, right? Is that all of a sudden, you know, that kind of talk, there's a groundswell of support for it in those power, I guess, four now conferences, the Pac-12 being gone. You know, and all of a sudden, if you're in a conference that isn't, you know, one of the top, whatever it is, five in the country, maybe you're going to be left out of the NCAA tournament, right? Maybe things are going to change to a point that they all kind of say, hey, we're just going to break off and do our own thing. And then, you know, you other, you know, 27 conferences, we don't care. Just do whatever you want to do. And so I think we're in a situation where they're just trying to figure out what to do and where to go because, Coach Few and our administration don't want to be left out, right? Right. For everything they've done to build this program up and get it to this national level, they want to figure out how it is that they can continue to be relevant and continue to play at the highest level. So, you know, I think that stuff's always going to stay out there, Jim. You know, it was funny. It kind of felt like it was moving forward pretty good. And then, all of a sudden with Colorado, Utah, Arizona State jumping in, I think that, you know, that cooled it off a little bit. But I do know, I mean, everything you hear from Brett Yormark, the commissioner, he's really trying to build that thing up, right? And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of the next move is there. So I know that we've kept our options kind of open and, you know, and our athletic director always says, hey, we're proud members of the West Coast Conference and you know, we've been able to do a lot of great things from here. But I do think that you just have to, you know, keep your eyes open and look around. So, you know, it's like musical chairs, right? You don't want to be the last person standing there, you know, and so it's been a little tricky. And again, that's a shame to me too. And Jim, I'll go on my rant real quick. I hope we have enough time, but you know, I get frustrated. You know, college sports is the only place where you don't have one singular voice leading the way, right? So like the NL East doesn't have a commissioner and you know, and they're not calling and saying, hey, we think if we had the Dodgers in the NL East, we'd be better and we'd be able to get a bigger television contract. So let's have the Dodgers come and join and then signing them away from the NL West, right? It doesn't work that way. In college sports, it does, right? I mean, you've got all of these commissioners and the one thing that they're looking out for is their own conferences, right? The guy running the SEC, I don't blame him. The guy running the Big 12, I don't blame him, right? They're doing what's best for their conferences, what they've been hired to do. But is it good for the totality of the game and the sports? And I don't believe it is, right? And so, to me, that's a little frustrating because all these different entities are kind of reaching and grabbing to make sure that their entity's okay. But there's no one leader, right? The NFL has a commissioner, right? The Major League Baseball has a commissioner. The NBA has a commissioner, and they look out for the best leagues. And right now, I don't think you have that. And it's to me is pretty glaring as we head down this road because. My goodness, I mean, how much fun was last time? If you're a Colorado State fan, I know you didn't want to play on Tuesday, but this is the best time of year. I mean, how much fun is this right now? You know, and to think that you might move into an era where, you know, half of the tournament is teams that are 18 and 16, you know, but they play in these big conferences, so they get invites, and then, you know, the other conferences are left out in the cold. It's tricky right now. You know, I wish that there was somebody who was looking out for the entirety of the game and not just basketball, but all of college athletics because it's crazy to see how fast things are moving right now and what we're doing with it. But that's just me and you talking. You know, it's a pipe dream. Nobody listens to the radio guy from Spokane, but that's...
Well, if they don't listen to you, they're certainly not listening to me, Tom. Trust me.
Right.
They're certainly not going to listen to this guy here. So, yeah, and you think Charlie Baker, you know, NCAA president, you know, that title would carry some clout, but as we know, that doesn't. It's a paper tiger, the NCAA. And when it comes to Division I sports now, it's merely window dressing. Hey, one final thing. Did you get the picture I sent you?
I did, Jim. That is so awesome.
Number one, I'm just you look the same. I'm thinner now, and I don't know what the deal was with my hair that day. I look like I dumped a bucket of lard on my hair. I don't know what, and I was eating a cookie. It's like there's nothing worse than having a bad hair day eating a cookie in a picture to have you just look like an absolute, I don't know. I don't know what the deal was that day. My wife looked at that picture and kind of went, oh, wow, that's one I wouldn't want to share with most people. But I wanted to share it with you, Tom, since it was back in your days here in town.
Jim, I appreciate it so much. It's so much fun seeing pictures from way back then, right? Because everything's on a phone now, and you don't know, and you look at those, and you're like, wow, gee, that's crazy. And it's not even in black and white. It's color.
It's a colored picture, yeah.
We're not quite that old, right? But no, what? so much fun, Jim, and I just love it. I love getting a chance to talk to you and, you know, and seeing a picture like that, just all the memories and everything it brings back. And I actually have something I've got to send you, and it's been in my garage, and I've been meaning to do it for a couple of years. But I've got an old Mesa State football cap that I need to send your way.
Oh, wow.
So we're not CSU Mesa. I mean, it's the old school Mesa State Mesa State Mavs that I've never worn it. It always kind of sat on my shelf in my office, and I was like, you know what? Like, I bet Jim could use this thing. This would be nice to have in the studio.
Sure,
so I've got to get that your way as well. But it's great. Every time I look at it, every time I pick it up, it just, you know, great memories from being back there. But I'm gonna send that your way. And I say you can wear it, I guess, if you wanted to. But you can
we'll find a nice
display it, whatever the heck you want with it.
A place to display it here in the studio with all my other little knickknacks in the studio. Hey, Tom, always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll get you on again here. Hopefully talk about a Gonzaga win over McNeese State. Appreciate the time as always, my friend. Have a great call tomorrow.
All right, Jim, appreciate it. Wonderful talking to you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, take care. Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga, joining us on the program this morning. Always great talking.